Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Finding someone who shares your values in today's culture isn't easy, and being single around the holidays isn't easy either. That's why Catholic Singles created a website and app where single Catholics can meet and get to know each other that focuses on values, activities, and interests. For over two decades, Catholic Singles has been fostering deep relationships because your faith matters. Start today at CatholicSingles.com. That's CatholicSingles.com.
Ignatius Press is pleased to announce the first national book club created for Catholic schools. Ignatius Book Club for Catholic Schools was launched to support Catholic schools' dedication to forming the whole child, mind, body, and spirit. Ignatius Book Club for Schools partnered with leading publishers of children's literature to offer the best books and educational materials for all reading levels and interests. Head to ignatiusbookclub.com/podcast and find wholesome books that delight, inspire, and enrich.
Welcome to the Compass Catholic Podcast. This is Manager Muddy Godsway, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries, teaching what the Bible tells us are the best ways to handle money. Our goal is to show you how to eliminate the debt that you've accumulated, no matter how big or small your debt may be. Take a look at our Bible study, Navigating Your Finances God's Way. You'll find that information at CompassCatholic.org. I'm Steve Holbrook, and with me, the co-founders of Compass Catholic, all dressed up like Santa's elves, John and Evelyn Bean. Hard to believe that we're days away from Christmas. And you know, in this busyness of the season, it takes an intentional effort to really focus on the true meaning of Christmas. So instead of worrying about all the things that you have to do this week, how about if you think about the blessings behind what we're here celebrating? John, I know you and Evelyn have some wonderful ideas to help us focus on what Christmas is all about.
We've got some good ideas about what people might be able to do. How about if you start out by reading the first chapter of Luke? It's basically the Advent story. It's a beautiful story of faith and miracles, and we hear about two unbelievably faithful women who were open to miracles that God presented to them. He gave them. And there are two verses in that reading that are related to the Hail Mary prayer. You know, in verses 26 to 28, we hear about the greeting form from the angel Gabriel to Mary, and he said, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." And that's the first line that we use when we pray that, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee." And then the next part of the story, when Mary visits Elizabeth, and we hear the second part of the Hail Mary, in Elizabeth's greeting, she says to Mary, "Most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And that's the second part of the Hail Mary.
You know, it's really good to look at those two women, Mary and Elizabeth, and see that God works miracles in situations where humans think something is impossible. You know, Elizabeth was considered too old to bear a child. She had been barren for many, many, many years, and here she was in her elderly years bearing a child. And in Mary's case, she became pregnant even though she was a virgin. So it's a way to understand that God works for good in all our situations, even in situations where we don't think there's any sign or presence of God. He's there and he helps us along. And it's important for people who are having a difficult time at this time of year to remember that. There's so many people that really don't celebrate the Christmas season because it's a difficult time of year for them.
Yeah, I agree with that. Some people, you know, maybe they lost their spouse in the past year, or maybe in previous years about this time of the year. Some people have experienced huge life changes that's thrown them just a little bit skiwampus, a little bit off balance. And how many single parents are there around us who are in need of encouraging friendships and find, you know, maybe a little even financial help? Some of them look at Christmas as a time that's really discouraging and probably pretty scary, something that they have to face.
And it's, if you're in a good situation at Christmas, sometimes it's hard to step out of your situation and see the people that are hurting, the people that are struggling, the people that this is not a very joyous time of year. You know, maybe you know of people who are not in a position to spend any money on gifts for their children. Or maybe they're in a situation where their family unit is no longer a family unit. And it's easy for them to feel all alone. So for a lot of people, Christmas is just a time to get through. They're just ready to be over with it. It's a horrible time of year, and they really don't have any joy in this time of year.
Well, and it's also really easy for people to exclude these kinds of people from our celebrations. Just like Mary and Joseph were excluded from the inn when they sought shelter in Bethlehem.
It's easy for us to overlook those people. So we want to challenge you to make room for the lonely, the outcast, and the widow by praying that the Lord will bring one needy person into your life this holiday season. Someone that you can care for and express the love of Christ to. Someone that has a need, and their need might be fellowship, or it might be financial, or it might be food or shelter or clothing. So think about ways that you can help people this Christmas season.
Perhaps you can carry a care package in your car that has some types of handouts for the homeless. Maybe a bottle of water, granola bars, small toiletries. Many people are really hesitant to give money, so this is kind of an alternative. But and I've struggled with that money, you know, giving money to people on the corner or this or that. What they do with that money is not up to me. That's between them and God. And if they're going to use it to buy a meal, that's great. If they're going to use it for something else that maybe isn't so great, that's between them and God.
Well, and the bottom line is, who are we to judge?
Exactly. We're not there.
We're not there. We don't know what they're going through. We don't know what they're living through every day. So I like the idea of a little care package, because that tells them that someone cares for them, and it gives them something that they can use.
And these are the kind of learning lessons. In last week's show, we talked about ways of taking consumerism out of Christmas and putting Christ back into it. These are great little ideas that you've shared so far, with, especially when you have kids in the car.
Yes.
And they see you doing these. I love, John, the idea of the Luke's reading of the Advent. Maybe at night before dinner, reading parts of Luke's gospel just to share the true Christmas story around the table. And if your kids are old enough to read, have them participate in it.
That's a good idea, because it's always good to draw them into a tactical way to celebrate the season, because nothing in our society does that.
And you do that enough times, it becomes a habit, and the kids start, as they get older, start getting into things.
And they really start understanding.
Exactly.
Well, they not only do they understand, but they cherish those traditions that you've started to build when they were small. We had a tradition that we didn't know we had a tradition about. When our son was little, we would go to Mass, and typically we would go to one of the early evening Masses with all the children.
On Christmas Eve.
On Christmas Eve. And we didn't realize it, but every year we ended up going to a local fish place for dinner.
That's because we lived away from all of our parents and family, so it was always just the three of us on Christmas Eve.
We were always at home. We didn't want to go up north with all the snow. And for I can remember a time when we went to Mass, and I don't know where we went for dinner or if we just came home, but our son said, well, why aren't we going to the fish house? We always go to the fish house after Mass on Christmas Eve. It was like, really?
We didn't notice it. You know, another way to reach out to the lost and lonely is to give someone in your church who is elderly, who may need transportation to church, give them a ride. Go out of your way to help them. Because it's so easy to get caught up in all the activities of your own family, But what better way to teach children about the real meaning of Christmas than to show them what it means to be a Christian? And we see this every Sunday at Mass, because we have a lady who sits in front of us at Mass in a wheelchair, and a neighbor brings her to Mass every Sunday. Yep. And it's just such a blessing to see them bring her, get her settled, have her little purse put aside and the book in her hand. And they always come back and pick her up. And it's just...
They've been doing that for how many years?
A long time. There's just such a witness to the love of Christ.
And they're not even Catholic.
They're not even Catholic.
That's true. Yeah,
they don't stay for Mass.
You know, another way to share this season with someone who may be lost and lonely is to invite them over for dinner. Your table may be full, but there's always room for one more, right?
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. So if you know somebody who's alone, they don't have any family around, it's a great way to really enjoy the spirit of the season. Another thing you might do is visit a shut-in. Maybe you know somebody who's shut-in, or they're in a hospital or a nursing home. Maybe an elderly person who doesn't have family close by that can visit them over the holidays. Well, just take some time on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day to go and visit them. Take them maybe some food, if that's allowed on their diet, to pray with them. You could go over in the next couple of days before Christmas and just take a simple decoration that they could put on their nightstand or on their dresser, maybe Christmas stockings. Maybe you could fill up a stocking with simple items that they'll use, like hand cream or postage stamps or pens and pencils, magazines, something that they'll use. You have to know the person a little bit, but it's a great way to spread the spirit of the season.
I have a funny story about taking a decoration to someone in the hospital. We had a dear friend who has since passed away, but she was in the hospital over Christmas a couple years ago, and I stopped and bought her a little snowman that lit up. And her husband was in the hospital with her that evening, and he looked at her, and her face was totally red. And then all of a sudden, she just got blue. And he couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. I mean, he was ready to call the nurses. He was ready to, hit the panic button. And here the little snowman I brought changed lights. So it was like red and blue and yellow and green, but he thought she was having an adverse reaction.
She was having a psychedelic attack.
Because it was a very subtle light, so her face was just subtly turning these different colors, and he was...
And you have memories of that.
I do. That's one of my favorite memories of her at Christmas time, because her husband got so freaked, and of course he's highly excitable, so I'm sure he was crawling on the ceiling when he saw her turning all these different colors.
I was thinking about Christmas the other day, and one of the things that I really used to enjoy when I was young, I could drive and stuff like that, but I was still in high school or in college, is I really wouldn't do any shopping until right before Christmas. And, Christmas Eve or the day before Christmas Eve, I would go to the mall and just kind of walk around and watch everybody, look at what they were doing, the frenzy that everybody was in. And I knew I could find something that I didn't have that many presents to buy. But that always made me feel like Christmas. And I think if you can just kind of go to the mall without having to worry about buying stuff, but just to enjoy what's going on around you, the season, the festivity, and think about the reason for the festivity, that may be something that you find quite enjoyable.
This is Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries. And today, John and Evelyn Bean, the co-founders of Compass Catholic, are sharing some wonderful ideas on how to truly enjoy the Christmas day, make it really special. So Evelyn, what else can we do to truly enjoy Christmas Day?
The other way to enjoy Christmas is to plan some low-key activities for Christmas Day that the whole family is going to enjoy. Because one of the things that happens is there's this two-month headlong rush into Christmas Day, and there's all this excitement, and there's all this hoopla, and then all of a sudden everybody opens presents in 5 minutes, and the whole day's finished, and there's nothing else to do. So it's good to have some plans for Christmas Day on how to keep things kind of moving along and keep the kids busy and keep them entertained and engaged.
One of the things that we do is the way we open Christmas presents. It's kind of unique. It slows it down to a really moderate crawl. And it can foster an enormous attitude of gratitude. So here's the process. We get the kids to take all the presents out from underneath the tree and stack them up in front of everybody who's got a present. And when everybody has their presents in a pile in front of them, we start with the youngest one who opens one present. And when that present is open, everybody has to ooh and aw. And the younger the child is, the more oohing and awing you got to do. And then the next oldest person opens a present. So it's obviously, in most cases, it's going to be another child. And you go through this whole process. Then you go to the next person, the next oldest, and then the next oldest, and then the next oldest. And you're just doing it in rotation from youngest to oldest, each person opening one present when it's their turn until all the presents are opening. So the process is slow. It's designed that way. And it eliminates the, oh, what's next? What else have I got? What else have I got? And, you know, when you do that and the kids are just ripping through presents, you know, in 5 minutes they're done. So the great thing about this slow process is that the kids have an opportunity to get really interested in the one present that they just opened. And they'll actually, hopefully, play more with the present than the box. I think they have a chance to enjoy the presents more. They know what they got because, you know, it's going to be 10 or 15 or 20 minutes until they get to open up another present. So they get to play with it a little bit, understand what it is. And, you know, they appreciate what they have instead of moving quickly to the next present.
The other thing that usually happens, at least in our family, is that the older people usually drop out of the present rotation first because the kids usually get more presents than everybody else. And it's interesting that the little ones always noticed when grandma or grandpa or mom and dad don't have any more presents to open. And it makes them more conscious about the gift-giving process, and they're worried about why grandma or grandpa doesn't have any more presents. So it's an opportunity to talk to them about what's really important as far as gift-giving and getting presents and appreciating what they got, no matter how few gifts they get. So that always helps, too. And another idea we've used to slow down the gift-giving is to make a game of it. You know, sometimes we hide the gifts someplace and do the hot and cold game. You know, when you move through the room, you know, you're hot, you're cold, mm-hmm. as the person gets nearer or further away from where the gift is located. And we did that 1 year for our son. We got him a golf club putter.
Yeah. No, it wasn't a putter. It was a sand wedge. How do you package a sand wedge so somebody doesn't know what it is?
You get a hacksaw and cut it into pieces? I have no clue.
Well, we couldn't figure out either. So what we did is we turned the club upside down so that the head of the club was up top. And then we hooked it over a limb right next to the tree trunk.
So inside.
Wow. Yeah, on the inside of the tree, the shaft of the club ran down the tree trunk, and we just put it up there. Now, we didn't do it until right before we started opening presents because we didn't want him walking around and looking at it. But it must have taken him 30 minutes to find that club. Hot, cold, cold.
And he wasn't calling you names.
Well, the other thing I've done is I've made up a poem about the gift and to see if they can guess what it is. You know, it'll be a little jingle rhyme where the kids are supposed to guess something. Like, I think 1 year we took them to one of the theme parks, and the poem was about the theme park, so that they could guess what it was. I think that was the year we took them to Legoland. But I'm not sure.
Okay.
And then another thing we've done is to have them play 20 questions in order for them to guess their gift. And that just kind of slows things down and puts a layer of fun on it. And it's not this mad rush where you tear through all the presents in 5 minutes and then the kids are disappointed because there's nothing else going on. So it's just a way to slow things down a little bit.
Or you can give them clues. You know, go look in this place. So they rush off to that place, and what they find is another clue. And they go rushing off to the next place, and then to the next place.
So it's like a scavenger hunt.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot of fun to kind of watch that happen. And
no, it is. And our son does that same thing. And it does make it enjoyable to watch the kids because they spend a few minutes playing until it's their turn again, which, like you said, 15 minutes later.
Yeah.
And it is enjoyable to watch. And it does last longer than 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it can go on for hours because they'll go halfway through and then they break for breakfast.
Ah, okay.
Or the kids get really interested in something and you just let them go.
Yeah,
I mean, exactly. If they're really interested in a toy they got, there's no reason to keep pushing forward. Let them play and let them enjoy it. You know, there's other things that you can do to kind of take up time that day and develop traditions that are your own, like maybe building a fire and roasting marshmallows or making s'mores sitting around the fire. That's always a nice thing to do.
As long as you're not in Florida.
Well, unless it's cold in Florida and it gets down to 60.
And the neighbors come over because they can see smoke. The
Or how about a tournament, a family game tournament like Spoons or I Doubt It or Monopoly or Uno, where you can get everybody involved and it's a way to spend some time and you can have a little fake trophy that you pass around from person to person every year for whoever won the game.
Another thing you could do is just get out the photo album, or if you don't have a photo album anymore, maybe you've got a photo file on the computer and you can put that up on the TV screen and you can look at Christmases past. You know, it's pretty cool when you see the 7-year-old today and what they were, how they were responding to this at a year and a half or 2.5 or whatever.
Or 6 months.
And
the kids love to see themselves as babies. And they think it's even funnier to see grandma and grandpa as babies because the clothes are so different and the hairstyles are so different and all that.
Yeah, but those metal slide pictures are kind of hard.
Yes, we definitely don't have those on an electronic format, do we? What about watching traditional Christmas movies on Christmas Day, like It's a Wonderful Life or The Nativity Story or The Ultimate Gift, The Polar Express, A Christmas Carol? Those are always good ways to spend some time on Christmas, just being quiet and enjoying and knowing what the season is all about.
Yeah, everybody has their favorite, whether it's Elf or Miracle on 34th Street,
Home Alone. Oh, I haven't thought about that. Yeah.
Home Alone,
Yeah.
And, you know, jigsaw puzzles can be fun. If you can set it on a table that, you know, a card table or something that you're not going to be using for dinner and stuff like that. So you don't have to take it apart and stuff. But just let everybody work on the jigsaw puzzle. And if you got people from out of town, then you're going to be there for 3 or 4 days. You get a 500 or 1,000 piece puzzle that's going to take more than 30 minutes to put together.
And it's amazing because we've done that, and it's amazing if you let it out there the whole day. People walk by, kind of unintentional. They look down. And they may see a piece, and they'll just add a piece or two, then keep going.
Yep.
Yeah, the grandkids love doing
this. We do that when we go on vacation every year, and it takes most of the week to get the puzzle done.
What about reading Christmas stories? You know, maybe have different people read different parts and voices appropriate to the character, or writing a Christmas story about something that you did at Christmas past and have the little ones chime in and say some key phrases like ho, 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 or Merry Christmas, or something like that, where they can get involved even though they're not old enough to read. And that's so much fun for the kids, and that's stuff they remember, even if you make up a story as you go along. You know, just do it off the cuff.
So, Evelyn, take a hike. No, I mean after Christmas dinner, we can get out and we can go walk and get some exercise and work off dinner and all that excess energy the kids have from all of the excitement. Maybe if there's enough of you, you can play a little flag football, or my favorite is to take a nap.
That doesn't work off too much excess energy, John.
Hibernation.
You know, If you're in a northern climate, you can play in the snow, build a snowman, have a snowball fight, make snow angels, or if you're not up north, you can go walk on the beach or play games, make crafts. Maybe even it's a good time to make Christmas ornaments for next year.
Oh, that's a good way to keep the kids busy.
And you can make them, and then you've got them when you get ready to pack up everything from this year. They just go right into the boxes, and you'll have them for next year.
So by consciously making plans to slow down and enjoy the holidays, you can follow the verse from Deuteronomy 26:11, which says, "Then you and your family shall make merry over all these good things which the Lord your God has given you." And Christmas is one of the gifts that God has given us.
When you really think about it, what do you want to accomplish during the Christmas season? Well, one, you want to build memories that you can enjoy for the rest of your life. And the memories need to be centered around celebrating the birth of Christ, celebrating and helping the less fortunate, centered around just enjoying each other. So for this Christmas season, don't let the world make you be discontent with its focus on buying. Learn to be content. Even Paul had to learn to be content. So we can do that. We can learn to be content. Develop traditions that are meaningful and fun, but not expensive.
So the bottom line is, use the Christmas holiday to make and celebrate traditions with your loved ones and make memories that'll last a lifetime. And most importantly, find ways to keep Christ in your Christmas.
And we do pray that you do have a very special, memorable Christmas day. And before we leave you today, just as Santa reaches into his bag of toys, I'm going to reach into our bag of emails and have John and Evelyn answer one of these. John and Evelyn, I'm considering offering someone a cash incentive to make some changes in their life. Is this a good idea? Is this biblical?
You know, I'm not sure about that, because it seems like you're almost bribing somebody to make a change that you want them to make. I think it might be okay if it's a change that they want to make and you want to support them in that. But simply paying money to somebody so that they'll do something you want them to do doesn't feel right to me.
Yes and no. For example, you're going to match the additional payments that a child makes on the mortgage payment, for example, on their mortgage payment. If they make an extra $100 or $200 or $500 payment every month and you match that, you're encouraging them to help get the mortgage paid off sooner, because you know that not having a mortgage is such a blessing in a couple's life. And so if you do it from that standpoint, I don't really consider it as a bribe.
No, but in that case, they have some skin in the game, because they're making extra payments that you're helping them with.
Right.
If they're not willing to make extra payments, I don't see any reason for mom and dad to pop in and try to take care of the mortgage.
Evelyn, that's a good point.
On behalf of John and Evelyn Bean, I want to thank you so much for listening. And remember, we post a brand new podcast each and every Wednesday morning. Simply go to compasscatholic.org, scroll down on the homepage, and click on podcast. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, and we're from Compass Catholic Ministries.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.